Welcome to the Conway Show. We are here for another ripper episode. We got the boys back to chat about the run. It's been a little while since we had our last podcast. It was the last one was the night before we set off for the Sydney to Melbourne run, which was just over 3.5 weeks ago. Feels like a lifetime ago. But welcome Jakey, Kev and Dan onto the show.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, look, we want to go through some of the feelings, some of the emotions of the run and I guess go through how we took the whole experience in and how we're feeling right now and I guess what's next on the horizon. So, I guess the feelings of sitting here 3 weeks post Sydney to Melbourne run, how are we feeling?
I've been pretty flat, to be honest, I think. I think everyone's been a bit flat. I think I've noticed everyone a bit flat. But I expected that. I think you kind of prepare for flattening out a little bit, feeling a little bit like goalless and sort of drifting through your training. I've really struggled to get back into weights as well. Feel very weak. Training like a bit of a flog, to be fair. So, looking forward to setting a new goal, I guess. I've got High Rocks coming up, so that's exciting. I'll get back into that, and I really want to get back into my running. I feel like I really like running. I think it does wonders for my head and my brain and my thoughts and my mental health. So I think I need to get back in there. And the longer I leave it, the worse it's going to be. So that's how I'm feeling.
Yeah. I think the strength training has been something that we haven't really done in a while in terms of classes. We've been doing the classes, we've been doing running, but we haven't really spent time doing strength training. So I feel like I'm back to how I was 5-10 years ago, where you're lifting just weights and then that's it, pumping biceps, doing some triceps, not much legs. Body's feeling all right. I think I'm back in a bit of a groove. Certain things I can't do in terms of like the extension of my right leg just because of the back of my right knee. But other than that, everything's kind of just back to normal and feeling good again. So haven't run yet. So when that happens,
watch this space.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
It's been an interesting post 3 or 4 weeks. I think for me, I was expecting a level of fatigue that's come. So monitoring the heart rate before the run, during and then after, resting heart rate's up about 20% for most of the time. It's come back down now to sort of normal. So that's where the level of fatigue comes in. Pain-wise, it's all been okay. Probably just jump straight back into normal life and catching up because the focus was on the run for so long. Not only the running, but the training, plus the preparation and the planning and all that sort of stuff. So, I was silly enough to, when I got back, to straight away sign up for the Melbourne Marathon in October. But that's given me a goal. But for me, the goals don't particularly matter. It's part of the lifestyle. So the run, the events, it's just different events on the calendar. But getting back into training has been difficult, and I agree with the weights. Not that I have the capacity you boys have, but yeah, it's been interesting.
I do have a bit of a memory from 2 weeks ago when Kev was jumping in a session with us, and he looked like a very dishevelled man, wasn't it? I think there was lunges or something, and everyone had to hold weights. And we look over and we see Kev, and Kev with he's got his shoulders hunched over, and he looked like he was just about to cry, but he just kept moving. And he did not stop. And we were actually feeling your pain the whole time.
I don't think either of you can talk about that because you guys have looked.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible. Oh, man.
We've had that's
some of the worst sessions I've ever seen.
Oh, some of the worst. That session that I, the couple sessions I remember vividly that I was going to faint the whole time.
Yeah.
And it has been quite hard to get back into rhythm and emotionally as well. Like you said, the down of having an event like that and you train for so long for 16 and a half weeks and we talked about it. We didn't talk about it too much, but we knew about it because we've had events like this and stuff like that before. But the emotional come down from it is quite hard. Do you know what I mean? Because you put all your energy, and then it's like, oh,
yeah.
And like even, I mean, finishing the run and the emotion from that, your emotions are so high for 10 days. But even before that, the whole lead up, and then you start training again. I tell you, I don't even remember training those couple of days. I just looked at, like, I was looking at the ceiling. I look at the lights. I'm like, do you know what I mean? Take me. Like, do you know what I mean? Just take me. I'm gone. Like, do you know what I mean? And that's literally, and I was literally pushing the bar. And I remember squatting. I had just the bar as well. And I'm like, man, like, it's a long way back. Because you think about it, and I mean, I've probably 2.5 weeks after or 2 weeks after you start getting back into it, or even a week and a half. But then before that, it's 10 days. And then you've deloaded pretty much for another week and a half before that. So it's like a month to 5 weeks of not lifting heavy.
Yeah, correct.
Before. So it's not like, oh, I mean, yeah, 10 days of run. It's like the whole thing before that.
I was trying to work it out as well. Someone was saying, oh, it hasn't been that long though. Like, and I was like, no. Like, I reckon 3 weeks before the running, I wasn't doing any legs. Hardly.
Correct.
Like any heavy legs. Mm. And so I come back, try a squat. It's ridiculous.
We didn't want to. And it was the thought process of like, if we train legs, oh shit, we're going to be sore.
Yeah.
That's going to ruin the next day of training. And then it's this mental like point of view of like, this is going to ruin my training. Right. Oh my God, it's going to ruin the run. And you kind of have this like, it got quite...
It takes over, doesn't it? The whole run took over.
It got really strong. Like it started making me really just want to pump just upper body. And some of the sessions in the classes, I was like, oh, doing legs, I'm doing the same thing. Like you said, like a 20 kilo bar. Mm. And if I did more than that, I knew the next day was going to suck.
Yeah. So let's talk about the actual run individually, how we felt physically and mentally. And how was your experience in the whole thing? Was it what you expected?
I'll go first. I don't think anything could have set us up for how we felt, either any of us. I think that was the great thing about it. I think it was the great unknown what we're heading into, and we didn't really know where that was going to end up. I thought about this heaps. Like everyone asks you, you know, I don't know if you guys, every single person probably in the gym has asked us how it was and how it went. And you just kind of, I know you end up saying the same things, but you can't explain it to people either. Like you can't really get across how hard it was or what you witnessed or like how you felt. Nothing really you can't really put it across. I've really struggled to.
You find someone when they ask you, you pause and they go, oh, how was the run or how are you feeling? And you just go,
yeah.
Yep.
I just struggle to put it in words, I guess.
Yeah, correct.
But also, like, man, like, I just say to people, they're like, oh, would you do it again? And I was like, in a fucking heartbeat, I'd do it again. Do you know what I mean? Like, 100%. If I could feel those feelings again doing anything, I'd do it again. I think it's one of those things that's like, no matter what the outcome was, to feel the way we felt and the rides that we had, ups and downs, you don't get that in life ever.
Mm.
You how often are you put in that situation?
Yeah,
like, never, ever. And I think that's why... probably why we're all struggling as well a little bit is because we're searching for that drug of feeling like that, of being like feeling awful, but also feeling amazing. So I, like overall in terms of the run, I really struggle to put it into words, but it's one of those things that I'll probably talk about the rest of my life. It was, for me, it was probably one of the greatest experiences I've had.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't take it back in a heartbeat. So that's how I felt.
Yeah, generally I would probably exactly the same. I think you've said pretty much everything that we're probably all going to say, but I think that's the thing. I was very confident and super ready. I was not getting injured. I had one little sickness during the whole time of the training, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a walk in the park. And day before, obviously, oh no, sorry, on the day, oh, and day before, and these guys saw me, the day before, I was a mess. I was stressing. I was like, the night before, Dylan had to come into my room and I'm sitting there going, oh, like, this is too much. And what I was worrying about was all the bits and pieces, all the packing of the cars. Dylan's like, that's not your problem. Don't worry about that. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I can't do this. Like, and I'm literally the night before. And I woke up the next morning more nervous than I've ever been in my whole entire life for anything. Ned Brockman coming down, we'll chat about him, but Ned Brockman coming down, I started tearing up. It's like he was like the Rock, like he just rocked up and I was like, oh my God, what? I mean, like the presence of greatness here. Like it was
schoolboy.
Yeah. And I was fangirling. But then that's when I went, oh shit, like we actually have to run now. Like we actually have to, from this point here, we have to run. And up, to be honest, as soon as we ran, it felt so good. Like, even though it was uphill straight away, like, we were all together. It felt so good. And we had Benny with us as well. And it felt really nice. So all the nerves just disappeared. And you went, okay, this is the adventure we're going on. This is the journey we're doing. And obviously the destination, it'll come, you know. Ultimately, yeah, it wasn't what I expected because I was too confident. But happy, like you said, happy to get it done. And to be honest, I said before, I never want to run again. I miss running, like you said. I really miss it. And I think we constantly need that challenge. We constantly need that goal to aspire to work for. Because, pumping weights is all well and good. Getting jacked is all well and good, but...
I love getting jacked.
Yeah. But to be honest...
What does it feel like?
Yeah, it's great. it feels so good. But just the fact that, like, you know you're training for something. Like, again, Hyrox is good. Like, all those things are good, but, like, we need something bigger. And people are like, what's next? And you're like, to be honest, it has to be bigger than Sydney to Melbourne. Like, it has to be, like, it has to feel like that. So, no idea what this guy's planned, but... We're I'm pretty happy that run.
Let's just not
through.
Tell Chelsea.
No.
Oh, they'll know after this episode because I'm letting everyone know. So tell me. So your goal was to run 100 k's every day.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the mental toll of, do you know what I mean, day two. Struggling body wise.
Yeah.
And then, do you know what I mean? Do you look at that as like, Jim, I didn't accomplish it, or do you look at it as like, okay, no, I got through this much?
Yeah, look, doing the 100 on the first day, I thought, oh, okay, this actually is not going to be too bad. And I think that was just that mentality. We've done hundreds before and we're super, super sore. Waking up the next morning, I went, holy shit, like I'm great. Like, let's do this again. We don't plan and train for injuries. We don't plan and train for like the high-end sorenesses. So we all thought, and I had this perspective of like, 100 every day, okay, cool, I can get this done. It's going to take me all day, that's fine. And I got to about 65 on day two, yeah? It was a little bit uphill and my Achilles just went, nah, you're not running anymore. So I stopped, had some treatment and started to move again, and I was, I physically couldn't move and I couldn't find myself to, I couldn't bring myself to like just keep carrying on. So I called LJ, one of the support crew, and I said, look, I just can't do this. This is just so stupid. I'm going to stop at 65. So they ended up pushing me and I ended up having to just walk with a limp for another 15, 20 Ks. What that kind of taught me was like, it's okay to not be okay at that point. Like I knew I was sore, I knew I was injured, but I knew that I could probably possibly push everything with my mind. I physically couldn't, but being able to kind of push myself with the support as well, that 15 Ks, I put a post up that day or the day next day after I did a 55 K walk. And I was like, you know what? I'm content with this because I'm only pushing my body to the extent that it can do. I didn't want to push it any further. For me, like getting the runs that I did, I only hit 100 on the one day, you know, compared to you where you did six and you just, I don't know how the hell you did that, but like you trucked through. I looked at how we moved and how I moved and I went, you know what, I'm content with what I did. Again, I don't feel accomplished. 100% I don't feel accomplished because it's like entering something and not finishing it. It's like colouring in a colouring book but missing five parts of it, you know, like it's just that thing of like it's something's missing and I'm not happy with it. But during it, I was like, my body's telling me no. And my mind was arguing with my body and my body just went, nah, mate, you're done. So even though that was shorter, yeah, I feel content but also feel accomplished that I still got 700 at the end. But could definitely, definitely do it again.
Day two, you're in 65K. We've got eight more days and you've got another 35 Ks to go, to my maths. When you're injured, if you think back to that moment where you're in the van, what's going on in your head at that point? Like, how did you react, I suppose?
Because I remember getting a call or something like that, and I was always keeping tabs on everyone, but I remember like, oh, this is stupid. This is why we're doing this. And I'm like, oh, shit. I better give him a call or tell LJ. You know what I mean?
Anger and disappointment. I think it was the fact that it's like you knew it was only day two and you couldn't, you weren't moving as well as you want to. So I was angry. And Rachel knows and you boys know, like pretty much every day I'll get on the phone and I'm like, this is fucking dumb. Why are we doing this? Like I literally was so angry at myself because my body just wasn't responding how I wanted it. And I literally was livid. I was getting given walking sticks, throwing the walking sticks away. I was kicking shit on the ground. Like I was just, I was an, every day I was like that. And I literally said, I'm giving up every single day. But then I found some sort of groove and then I was on. You had other people running. You had other people supporting you that you kind of just went, they're doing it. Oh, I've got Dan bloody 10Ks behind me running it or walking at like a, I don't know, a 20 kilometer an hour pace for some odd reason. And I'm like, I have to beat him. And then he zooms past. But like, it's just that thing of, I don't know, like you have this disappointment, but you don't want to let people down. I didn't want to let myself down. I didn't want to let Holler Foundation down. I didn't want to let you guys down. And to me, not completing a reasonable amount, I felt like I was letting someone down until a point where I got to like, yeah, 60 Ks or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm happy I got to 60. Again, we're running ultra marathons every single day. Not many people can say that, you know, but the way that I kind of looked at it is like, I didn't want to let the anger and disappointment ruin the trip. I didn't want to let every single day go to bed and go, oh, what a stupid day that was. I was disappointed, but I was content with it, you know.
Well, it'd be real easy to just go, I'm not doing it at all. Do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people would go, I don't have my target of 100, I'm just going to fucking stop.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that, obviously that's way worse. But I think, obviously watching you go through that and not having any, I think you're the only one not to have a niggle through the whole training, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's why, not why, but I think that was hard for you to get your head around. You're like, man, I've done this every way possible, every way I could possibly do it the right way. And you did. You smoked training. Yeah, the whole process. I think I was so proud of you. Every night, you're just smoking it and running great. And I think when you hit that, holy shit, my body's not going to do it for me. I think that's a scary thing, yeah?
And it's also even with that, knowing that day six, getting 88. And I was like, where the hell did that come from? I've done like a 55 and then a 70 and then somehow pulled out an 88. And I went, oh, what the hell? Like, this is 6 days in, not day two in. Like, I understand day two because your body's just not used to it. But our body's molded to it. Our body's got used to this type of movement and the volume. And obviously I was strapped like a mummy from Egypt. But I was in a position where like everything just felt okay, you know. But again, yeah, just the body won all the arguments on that one.
So that day, 88, why'd you stop at 88?
My right shin. So my right outside of my shin, again, I wasn't able to move. I had Craig pushing me. I had Rachel pushing me.
Because you're in front of me at that stage.
I was, yeah. I think you were napping at some point. Yeah. And I got to like 88 and it was just, yeah, it was nothing. Nothing was working. Nothing else was moving. And I was at one point, maybe 5-6 Ks before that, rocked up to the car and dropped on the ground and just laid there. I was exhausted and I was sore. And I just went, nah, this is dumb. Get up. Craig came and ran with me. Did a fair bit. Rachel started walking with me. I had the walking sticks. And then the right shin just went, nope, you're done. To be honest, if it was strapped, I would have got the extra 12 Ks. But I also thought, probably mentally it took over and I just went, this is dumb. And for me, 12Ks felt like it was 100Ks, you know, because I knew that I was going to be walking really slow. Like every step, it just sucked. But I think both kind of kicked in and told me to stop.
So your training, Dan put it on the head, your training was unbelievable through the whole thing. And then you went away and then... Probably like, so then the last sort of 2 weeks is probably your worst 2 weeks of the whole training. Was it barely any sort of running or minimal running?
Yeah, it wasn't, yeah.
Would you change anything? So say we do it again, would you change anything?
Yeah, not go away so close to where we went. I think Rachel's mum, she booked all the flights for the whole family to go to Thailand and it was great. And I ran for the first 2 days in about 35, 38 degrees and the humidity was nuts. Did 2 days and I was like, this is just not going to work for me. I'm getting headaches and I'm ruining my holiday. So I just went, no, I'm not doing it. Again, it was too close. I felt like it was too close or potentially I went somewhere where it wasn't so hot. Because then I could have been consistently training. But yeah, I think just having that mindset of like, we needed the rest, 100% we needed the rest every now and then, but not for the extended time that it was. Yeah.
Oh, it was funny. I think we all rolled in with zero momentum, eh? I was thinking about that the other day. Like we were probably all of us at the worst we could be almost. Yeah. But the last 3 weeks, man, I could hardly move. Like my had my cortisone and that, and you were buggered. You came back. You really struggled to get back into it. Kev was absolutely smoked. So I thought about that a lot when we were up there on that first day. I was like, man, we're coming into this. Like just to be here and us get to the start line is a huge thing, and we're rocking in with, like, zero momentum. Mm. So I was like, it's going to take a big shift.
And the thought process of, did we do enough, you know?
But then
you kind of go, yeah, we didn't run 100Ks in the training. Like, why did we not do 100Ks? And people ask that.
Yeah, no,
and
but it doesn't work that way. Never do that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I just think it was scary to see us get, like, I don't know, it was just very weird timing that it all sort of happened at once for all of us. And we're all like Dil was always talking about, we always talk about momentum with anything like this. Like, you've got to roll in with some sort of momentum. I think the only thing that was carrying us was mental momentum.
Yeah.
You know, we had that ability to just, like, we keep rolling in our brains, and you know what I mean? We never gave up on the fact that we had hope that and confidence.
Mm.
But body wise and running, what training wise, we're all horrible in the last two, three weeks.
Yeah, because I guess you're going from probably like yourself, who trained unbelievable, to Kev, who did no running. So it's but like totally opposite, I guess. So Kev, give us, I guess, how you're feeling going into it, and then how you felt, and how do you feel about, do you know what I mean, what you did and what you, like the 50 a day and stuff like that. Oh, you did more than that, but yeah, we've spoken about it a little bit, but we haven't really touched on it in terms of doing it again and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the build up for it as well, just knowing that you couldn't physically run.
Look, it was first block of training, so from January through the end of February, was amazing. I felt absolutely unstoppable. I was moving well, then end up with some TBL or shin pain. Got a diagnosis that it was compartment syndrome. And the guy said to me, don't run. If you run, you can lose your leg with compartment syndrome. So I went home, I had a massive cry. I was so scared of telling you boys. And I think Dylan was doing his first 60K long run that night. I was actually on the couch in tears, like, for hours. On the drive home, I've never been as upset as I have been. I kind of got to the point where that afternoon when Dil said he was going out, I'm like, well, if the guy said I can't run, fuck, this is going to be my last run. I'll go and support Dil on the last 20K.
What will I do? I'll go run.
Yeah.
Don't run, I'll run.
Yeah, and I thought, if I can't run the event, I'm going to go and support the boys and do what I can, or ride the bike or do something. So went in the dark, found Dil, did 20Ks. Fair bit of pain. Saw Brenton from the physio here. He was amazing. Said he wasn't sure about the diagnosis. Went to see another sports doc. Ended up with a just a straight stress fracture in the tibia. So, which is normally terminal for runners, but was the best news I could hear. Mm. So, which is kind of funny. So, that was middle of March, and we were running in middle of May. So I had 2 months really to recover and build and do a lot of rehab work to get back to running. So hours on the bike, hours on calf raises, hours on tib raises, hours on, you know, horrible monotonous stuff. Got back to running 1K, then two, and then that was the day of the 12-hour event. Or
yep. 12-hour? Yeah. 12-hour power.
So I did one lap, and that was it. Mm. So I built up to 20Ks just before the run. The day before the run is, we're going out for a run, and I felt horrible. You guys were doing a 5K shakeout, and I was so nervous and so scared because I didn't feel like my leg was right. I said, I'll come out for a walk. I got out the front, looked at you boys, and I thought, I cannot let you guys down. And if I cannot run 5Ks tonight, you know, just put a bullet in me now. Anyway, so I did the 5K, felt so much better, and all my worries went away because I knew then that all my fear, the day before, I was so wound and pent up and scared because of letting people down again. So I had that, all those emotions before the run. And the run itself sounds weird, but it was kind of blissful, like hard, but, and we talk about sitting in the suck, right? Like I find a way to disconnect from my body a little bit. Like, there's a dopamine hit you can get from music, movement, and actually finding beauty and stuff. So blue skies, fresh mornings, cows on the bloody side of the road, you know. And being with you guys and the crew was just, for me, I can find separation and actually have that. Watching you guys get injured, on the first day was magical. Like, beautiful day, running out of Sydney. Like, there was a fair bit of chaos that first morning. Like, we all got up. Oh, shit, you know, we weren't quite ready. I don't think we all had to find our groove. And that day was a bit of a shit show. The first day was, like, scrambling and everyone getting ready. And the 2 days before weren't ideal with our getting into Sydney. But fun. Like, we got it was fun. Like, if I look back at it, the stuff we did. But first day was blissful. Amazing as far as the running, the beautiful weather. And then the next couple of days when you guys got, you know, especially Jake and Dan with injuries, Dan was sort of limping home the last 5Ks of the 50, and I jumped out to that day and walked the last...
Second day, yeah.
Yeah, walked the last couple of Ks, and, yeah, but I found that the running itself was amazing. I really loved it. It was hard, not easy, but for me, I found... stress in all the other stuff, in the logistical, the worry, because there's so much, so many moving parts and so many logistical things, and not everyone was experienced in certain things. And I had an idea of how this was going to go, and it was pretty much how it went in my head. You know, and so many moving parts. There's two motorhomes trying to pull over on single roads and all these other worries that I was worried about, not so much the running. It might sound weird. But yeah, so I found it not running. It wasn't easy, but I found it was. I enjoyed it.
So you look back on it now, and would you have? Are you frustrated you didn't do the 100?
Because 100%.
Because we were having discussions sort of day two when you were like, no, it might have been day four or something like, and you were like, you were trying to do the maths. It was. Some pretty bad math, but you were like, "Oh, do you mean I could make up the hundreds if I do this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you're going to do 140 a day for the next 4 days to make up for the remaining things, which means you're going to be finished at 2 a.m. We're going to be starting at 5." So, I guess the takeaway from that, and do you feel empty finishing, or do you feel extremely proud? How are the emotions there?
I think what we grappled with. That discussion around do I do more or less, or how do we do it? But what I came back to was the goal was to run with Dan, do 50 each, and that was our goal. And by that stage, Dan had been injured; he was powering through. Like, I wouldn't want to talk about that after how the mental lockdown that Dan had and the way he approached his injury and getting through. But doing the 50, doing what I set out to, was the key thing. That for me, because every single day I knew every step there's a potential for injury, every single one. So I wanted to make sure I was close enough that I was going to get through and do what we set out to do if we could. So I didn't want to compromise that goal.
Because you did 100 on day nine.
Day nine, So day eight, we had 150 to go. And the best thing I can describe is that our mindset, all of us, was it's only 150 k's to go, or you know, 300 k's to go. It wasn't. Our mindset has grown to the point where we're like, whatever, not whatever, but like, I mean, you're in a different spot. I get, but so day nine, I put the hammer down. No, that day eight, put the hammer down. I ran under 6 hours for the 50 k's, and then day nine, finished the 50. And then you turn around and put the acid on me and said, "Come on, Kev, you actually promised me a 100. So it's funny. I woke up that morning and I said to Katie, I said, the day before, I said, we've turned the wick up today. And then the next morning, Craigie drove past. I said, watch this, boys. There's going to be a bonfire today. And very first thing in the morning. And I said to Katie, I said, we're on today. When I woke up, I said, today's the day for a hundy. Maybe. Let's just see how, you know, how the day goes. But in my head, it was almost always going to happen. And then you come over and put the acid on me. And, we got it out. So that was a long night, that one.
And then the next day was that was the last day, and you were feeling it like that. Yeah. We're talking about that last day. You know what I mean? You were.
So I was on fire. We ran the last 50. One road from Avenel to Seymour is 40K straight. And it was pitch black, 3 or 4 degrees. Katie was falling asleep at the wheel. describing the last 20Ks of 100 is something that people don't quite understand. You've got 20Ks to go or 10Ks to go, and you might run it at, say, 6-minute Ks normally, so you've got an hour or 2 hours. You know that if you've got 10Ks to go, it's a minimum of an hour and a half. So you can't get any faster at that point. So it just sucks. You're cold, you're damp. There's a level of fatigue and emptiness, but you just have to finish. Like, there's just this real – and it's a mindset thing. Anyway, finished that, drove an hour, got home, had 2 hours sleep, got up for the next day. The beautiful golf course that we're in that Katie booked that we spent – less than two hours in bed. Slow starts the morning on the last day, and then I get a phone call from Dylan. Mate, we need to be at Olympic Park in 3.5 hours. I said, there's 32 Ks away. I said, I'm not getting a lift. I'll see you there. So I put the foot down and ran.
It's probably the best thing that could have happened, couldn't it? Because you were in a bad way before that. You're walking and then you started getting...
Because I actually got my Achilles went that day nine. By that stage, it had warmed up and I had a couple of painkillers and it was all okay. But, yeah, did the event. What I didn't do on day 10, was stay ahead of my nutrition and my pain relief, which was just Nurofen and Panadol, so nothing extreme. But the nutrition was so important. And after talking with the guys from the Long Munch, Alan and Steph, having energy to combat pain was the biggest thing for me. And that's when I had that. Coming down Footscray Road, the reason I asked how you felt was it was despair. I was 10Ks from home and I had despair 10Ks from home.
Yeah, we saw that.
And it was a lack of energy and pain relief. But I had a small taste of that despair for the amount of Ks. And the issue was, on a normal day I'd be okay with it, but we had a deadline to get back by 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I couldn't physically get there. Got some food in me. Mitch dropped off some Panadol, and half an hour later, we're back on. We're back on fire.
All right, I've seen him.
But
done his hammy. Did look like getting shot,
screaming.
Half an hour later, he's shot on shot down Concrete Road. Yeah, yeah, shot in the back of the head.
I worry about all the shop fronts. They probably lost a lot of customers because there was a guy. Some crazy guy screaming. running up Ferguson Street, screaming with his arms behind him like a cape.
Doing a Naruto run.
Crying as he's running as well. Oh.
Those are the memories, eh?
Oh, that's
honestly, before that, though, you looked, the spear is one word.
Yeah.
He looked like, I literally looked back at him on Footscray Road. You looked like you're falling down a well.
Yeah.
He was like that, like looking up at us. And I was like, he ain't coming with us, man. He's gone. And then I was saying to the guys, you look like Blackbeard. You're running with one pig leg. It was unbelievable. And like, then just to see him flying down Concrete Road. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
All I remember is going up past Yarral Gardens and you literally walk straight past LJ, straight past me, straight past Katie, head down. Didn't even acknowledge us. And then they're like, shit, Dil, you got to ring him. Katie's messaging me, go, you got to ring him. LJ's like, you got to ring him. So I ring you, didn't get anything back. And then I'm like, message you. And then you message back. I said, you'll be all right, son, or something like that. And then, you were fine after that.
Didn't answer my calls either. People would tell me to ring you, wouldn't answer the phone.
Yeah.
I said to I honestly said to Jake and Mitch, we were running. And I said, you watch this. He'll fly past us. We're waiting 4:40. For it. And I was just waiting. Yeah. I was waiting. And I was like, here he comes. So I can hear him coming.
But I guess, so, I mean, that the, so again, going on feeling accomplished. And feeling empty, or what are we feeling?
I'm extremely proud that we did the run. I'm extremely proud that I got 600 Ks done. So I'm extremely proud that I was able to do the 500 and do some extras.
Because on that, do you know what I mean? There was probably three nights that you would come out, or probably four nights, I don't know. No, probably three nights you come out. When I was about 70 to 80 and you'd run the last 20 with me, and that bloody helped me so much. So much, just having someone else there, because that mentally was getting to me as well, knowing that you guys were back. Like, I'd always be like, hey, how are they going?
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, they're done. And knowing that Jakey was trying to do the hundreds, and then how everyone was feeling injured, and they're like, no, they're back at the thing. And I'm like, fuck, I still got bloody hour and a half to go, two hours to go, and these guys are having pizza at home. I'm like, fuck, can you order me a pizza and I'll be back. I'll eat it when I get back. And just knowing like that these guys are asleep when I get back was hard mentally as well.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times Kev would be running next to me thinking about you.
Yeah.
Honestly, how many times you say to me at the end of the day, he's like, I've got to get back up for dill at the end of the night. Yeah. And I was like, mate, I don't know how the fuck you're doing that. Because I said to Chelsea, like, the guilt that would go through me finishing and seeing you guys still going is hard to explain.
Mm.
Like, I can't even tell you. Like, the satisfaction was not there every day. Mm. Like, I'd be satisfied for about 2 minutes and then I'd just be, like, I'd literally be, like, stung with guilt that I... Like, not that I wasn't doing, like, not that I wasn't proud of myself for getting my stuff done. And I'm saying, like, I fully believe I wouldn't have been able to do 100Ks. Like, I know that. And I'm comfortable with that.
Mm.
But, and I didn't train for that. But the guilt that went through me seeing you guys at the end of the night, man, it just, it was so hard. It was so hard. And then, like, having to go eat food, do you know what I mean? Having to have my dinner and then knowing that you guys were out there, I'm like, this is not okay. And then every day he'd be like, I'm going to get back out there and go for a run. I was like, Kev, I'd love to, mate. But, like, I'm so focused on tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, do you know what I mean, compromise it. And then you're sitting there in these two minds and you're like, I can't help the boys, but I also can't do anything. Can't do anything.
Yeah, especially when you're walking a lot. Like, when you're walking a lot and you're in that point where you're kind of limping and you're running and it's really slow. It's that mentality of like, if I do another 20Ks and I do what Kev was doing, Kev's a next level character. I don't know how he did it, but it's that point of going, okay, I'm gonna go run again the next day. 50 is gonna be your hardest. Imagine if you did that extra 20, you know, woke up the next morning, went to do 50, and you didn't bounce back like you did every single day, you know, like it's, I think that thing of like listening to yourself and going, okay, look. No, I'm not going to do that because I know my goal for tomorrow. Because again, you wanted to hit 50, and if you did that 20, potentially you don't hit the 50.
We all had our goals, I guess, what we're trying to do. I think the amazing thing is when you do something like this in a group environment, like every single time a car would go past, and I'm like, "How are the boys going?
Yep.
I mean, we're running. Are they running? Yep. No, we're good. Okay, perfect." Like that was the first thing I asked every single time. You know what I mean, it wasn't about. Me, it was about, okay, how are they going? Dan's finished? Yeah. Oh, fucking unbelievable. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, keep going now. Do you know what I mean? And then,
I kept asking how far away is Dill at the start. Whenever I'd be going for like 25.
That's funny, I was saying how far away is Jake.
I would be about 25, 30 Ks, and that would be my zone where like everyone else is behind me for most of the days. And I'd be like, how far away is Dill? And they're like, oh, he's at least 10 Ks away. I'm like, I was like, okay, I'm on here. I can take a little bit easy, and then he comes out of fucking nowhere.
I feel like everyone was shitting me the whole time because every time I swear to God, the answer every time I got, they're only a couple of K's up the road.
Yeah.
But the thing can't be right.
But the thing is though that they were saying that every single time, and then I end up going, how many K's are 5 K? Okay, so that's about an hour.
Yeah.
They're an hour away from me.
Exactly.
Well, I got like, to a checkpoint and I'll be like, where are the boys? They just left. I was like, they cannot have just left. They're like, no, they've just left. They're right in front of you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay then.
And you're looking down one straight road and you can't see a person. You're like, nah, that's not right.
There was one day. It was day three. I'm pretty sure. Oh, actually, it was day three. And it might have been day two. Jake and I took a different route because we ran on the Hume and Dan went out and back then continued on the path. And I remember that day. It was like, when am I going to fucking catch up to Dan? Like, what the fuck? I said, is he running? No, he's walking. I said, there's no fucking way. Like, I'm like, how am I not? Like, I was flying. Like, I thought, and I'm like, how the hell have I not caught? And then I see him, I've still got a picture of like these two poles and just going. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? It was like he was running, but like his feet weren't touching the ground, like his poles, like, and I'm like, far out, Dan. What the hell's been going on?
I'm pretty sure I was kicking up concrete with the poles. I was just like, like that.
Giant divots.
And the funniest thing
was
I could tell he was pissed off because he rang me. He's like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm walking up front. I'm getting going. He's like, you must be in the wrong place. I'm not, man. I'm on the track. You must be running. I'm on the track.
He moved on day two, though. He really moved.
I think it was day three. That was the third day.
Day three, it was, yeah.
You guys had to start somewhere else.
You were flying down the Hume, and I was walking the Hume because I couldn't run because of day two.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
and there was a big hill up Hume and you had to go from one side to the other side and you're crossing over and I'm like, this is not going to work for me because I'm walking.
Man, that was
so those trucks are going 110. I'm in trouble.
And I look up,
the flashing lights are at the top of this hill and I was like, we've only been gone for 30 minutes and literally he's done like 5 or 6 Ks already. I look up and these flashing lights are literally a distance away, disappears, didn't see him the rest of the day. I started with him, gone within a space of 30 minutes.
No, that's because day three was a day I think Chelsea had in her book that was going to be the toughest day.
Mm.
And I remember Chelsea had her booklet and it was an amazing booklet. It had it like what time everyone was going to finish. We start this time, what time you'd finish. And I remember saying, no, fuck it. I'm gonna fucking shot up here. And I was about 20Ks in and I said, Chelsea, I'll be done by 8. I said, I'll be done by 8. And I remember that was a day I rang him and I'm like, nah, don't stop at 60. I'll see you at 70. And because I remember LJ, I said, LJ, just turn back. I'm good. And then we got up to Craig and Camille and they're like, we just heard you're going to 70. I said, fucking hate them going to 70. All right, let's go. And I didn't even sleep that day. I had a quick meal and I just kept going. Yeah. And I wasn't done by 8. I was done by 9. But that was one of the hardest days of hills.
Was that the dirt road day?
Yeah.
That's the day I was trying to hunt you down and I'm like, where is he? And they're like, oh, he's just motoring. He's not stopping. I'm like, oh, so far.
Yeah, because that was the day that you guys were still going half-half. Yeah. And that's the day after that we decided that it wouldn't work because you come and you were going to run with me.
Yeah.
And I said, Dan's not going pretty well. Just go to Dan. I'm going to have a stop and you'll catch me in the end because I'm going to have a sleep for an hour. But then after that, I'm like, nah, fuck, I'm not stopping. Like just, and then we never caught each other. So that was like, okay, after that, it was the next day. We're like, okay, let's just, instead of going half-half, because Kev will finish so much later, let's just change it up. And we end up running at the same time, which I think was a lot better. To be more involved and finishing at the same time and stuff like that. But, from my experience, day one was amazing. Just felt bliss. It was so good running with everyone the whole time. I didn't think that was going to happen. And just, I guess, the soreness of waking up every single day and just knowing that there was no other option than to get up and get going again.
Yep.
It really had me, like, excited. Like, knowing that I was waking up that sore that I was like, okay, let's do this again. And other than sort of the start of day three, and even then, Jeremy, it was getting considerably worse. I was feeling fucking so good. Day four, day five, I was still feeling good. Like, yes, my leg was getting more and more swollen. It was starting to get a little bit more sore. But other than that, like nothing in my body, I was like, fuck, touch wood. Like, I'm feeling fantastic here. Like, and I remember Dan, I remember finishing, I think it was day two and I was dancing or something like that. And, like literally 96Ks, he's like, fuck, people are going to hate you. Because how are you dancing? And I was enjoying, and a bit like Kev, like I'm not usually one to look out in the skies and see like the cows and the horses, but I was really enjoying running and just being out there. It was actually bliss not listening to too much music and stuff like that. Well, I also left my headphones at one of the caravans or things, so that wasn't great.
I didn't know about that.
I borrowed Chelsea's, but Camille tried to give me headphones with cords. I'm like, what are you doing? It's not the 1940s.
She's in the 40s.
But I felt really, really good and mentally felt really, really good. And then day six, day seven was probably my hardest day mentally because I felt so good and I was running. I had a few mates come run with me. And knowing that I'd done 6 days of 100 and I was feeling really good. And then because we kept starting later, that got me as well. Because I was doing 100, it was like, okay, well, you can't get it done any faster. So I'm going to be finishing later.
Yep.
And you can't like make up time because we still have to start at that time. And because we started later and later, because we had to travel to get to our starting point, that also killed me. So then we got, and I had a later, so then we got to that checkpoint when I was running with the boys, felt really good mentally, in a really good spot. I think it was at 60Ks, but it was like already like 5 o'clock. It was, so I had a sleep,
it was dark.
Six,
it was really dark, yeah.
Yeah, it was like six, I'm like, all right, let's go again. Like, and there was never a point in even the first 6 days, there was never a point where I was going to go, okay, that was it. I was never going to get to a point where, like, okay, like, I mean, I was always finishing. It doesn't matter, like, what time I was going to finish, how I was going to get there. I was always going to finish. And when I remember I was running and Kev messaged me and it was sort of caught me out of the blue a bit. And you were like, oh, maybe you should bank it. And we'll do it the last day because support crew are going to be out later. You're going to be getting home later again. You're not going to be done till, because the night before we finished at 1:30. Mm. We finished at 12:30. Then we didn't, it took us like an hour to get back. So 1:30. Why don't you bank it and then go again? And for some reason, like, I don't know why, and it's a big regret that I've got, is just saying, yeah, we'll do that. I should have said, nah, I'm good. Whatever time I finish, I'm doing 100 and forget about banking, because we had spoken beforehand that what happens, worst case scenario, we didn't make it one day, we bank it for the last day because we only had 50. But that's a big regret I have, is stopping at the 75 of that day, just knowing how good I felt within myself mentally, that it just should have been no brainer. Like, I mean, I finish when I finish, and that's it.
What position do you reckon that would have put you in later on, though, if you went to do that 25? Obviously, mentally you might be, but do you reckon it would have been, knowing how it progressed for 8, 9 and 10, do you reckon it would have, obviously can't tell, but do you think that
when you're in a state and, like, you're already 75 Ks in, the pain is so fucked anyway.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, that you're literally running on, my leg is so fat, like, by then, and I was getting treatment, like, pretty much every single stop in that. But I was, you get to a point where, like, it's so numb, your body's so far gone. It's like, okay, well, when I stop is when I'm going to feel the shock of how bad stuff really is. And I stopped on that day feeling better than what I should have. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So I should have just got through, and then my foot was just getting worse and worse, to a point where, like, even from day four, I couldn't even go from my brain to my foot to move my toes at all. And yeah. I'm like, I mean, what's going on here? And I thought something was really bad. But even speaking to a physio before, like, they said, like, that's, he's seen a fair bit of this, and he's never seen it that bad in terms of how shot it was. Mm. And that's the reason why you couldn't lift it up and stuff like that. And he said, like, the downhill motion of the heels is probably the reason what got it.
And the slower movement, the extra load that you're putting on compared to what we've done with other events.
Yeah.
The fact that you're, like, your movement is so much more different. You're putting so much more downforce on those legs, and on those feet, that they're copying it more. Hence why we all of us did, where we started getting numb shins and numb ankles, you know, and they were inflamed.
Yeah, I was just having that message, what happened that night, and it was, I think it was hard because I was grappling with, I knew that there was a no non-finish, but and I was trying to make sure for the bigger picture you were still going to get there. And I was just having, we were doing 6 kilometres per hour. So basically walking, that's when your leg was really bad that night. So, but you were still moving, and you said, I actually feel good. So it was such a hard thing. It was kind of, it was such a, what is the right, like, you know. Was it the night it was raining? Was it the next night?
No, it was the next night.
Next night, yeah. But, and in hindsight, if you had a extra 20, I mean, or go another hour or two, how many extra, but the leg by that stage was pretty bad too. It was, I can't believe how, so from day three on, when did your leg?
Yeah, like, start of day three, I'm like, oh, geez, this, like, something hurts here. Like, I'm like, I said to LJ, I think it was at the 20K mark, and I was still running, and I'm like, oh, geez, something hurts, like, and then it just got, like, worse and worse, and then, like, the swelling just was getting out of control. And then I started getting on some pain meds, and I'm like, I mean, can we get a jab? And that's probably another regret that I've got. And it's not a regret. It's a learning from doing this and never done it before, that, I mean, we have to take a sports doc with us. And I mean, speaking to a few physios after, I mean, what happens if I would have just got it jabbed every single day and gone on? This is the length I'm willing to go. Do you know what I mean? I'm willing to take my body to, I mean, I can't walk for the next, so often or whatever. Like, there's nothing that I wouldn't have done to get through. So, like, knowing that a sports doc would have been there to jab up. And, like, just speaking to a physio, like, they're like, well, I mean, what do you think the tennis players do in the Australian Open? They jab every single game. Every single day they jab. Nadal gets jabbed every single game. So, like, do you know what I mean, that's the length of the professional, like, to get there. So, ideally, do you know what I mean, next time you've got a sports doc there, he would jab, just like the footy days, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, that's a learning that I've had. And it would have helped, I don't know, it would have been too far, you know what I mean, gone anyway, who knows. But I think for me, the mental toll of knowing that day nine I was grappling so much that I walked, like, 55K and it was hardly a walk and I was like, shit, what... Like, what the hell am I going to do? Like, I tried running that many times. It wasn't funny. And I couldn't even get three, four steps.
Mm.
And I'm like, and then I was having LJ tape me up. And in the end, they sort of just left me go. And I didn't have any support crew that day. They just, like, let me go. I didn't see people for hours. And I think they just knew that, like, just to give me some, like, there's nothing anyone can do sort of thing. And knowing that you guys were going really well as well, and I'm like, shit, like, what am I going to do here? What am I going to feel satisfied for knowing that I can't walk for the next... Well, if I can walk, I'm going to finish on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what the hell am I going to do? That's what I was going with. I'm going, well, these boys are going to finish on Saturday. How am I going to finish on Tuesday? And I'm going to have to walk the whole thing. How am I going to feel walking the whole thing? And I'm not even really walking. Like, I'm literally... Like, it's shuffling. Not like I'm walking at an 8 minute, 9 minute pace. I'm walking like a 15. It's like 4Ks an hour.
Yeah. I think that day was, to me, it was fucking awful. I think the hardest thing was that everyone was coming to me being like, you need to talk to him.
Yeah.
You need to talk to him. And I just said to everyone, I was like,
we were honestly worried.
And I, like, said to him, yeah, I was like, I ain't saying the words, man. I'm going to let him make his own mind up today. Like, I remember vividly, bro, there was one time and everyone was saying, you know, like, go talk to him. You need to tell him. You need to say this. And I'm like, to be honest, like, I'm telling all of you, like, I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, like, but he also would, space. He wasn't going
to
listen to anyone.
Well, either. I just said, give him space. He'll come up with his own,
yep,
you know, and he's sitting there fucking calculating numbers. How am I going to finish it? How does this all work? Like, on his fucking calculator. Mm. I was like, Jesus Christ. I remember with one moment, LJ came up to me and she was like, you need to go in there and you need to ask him what his plan is. Like, how are we going to, like, there's no way we're going to get done by him. There's no way this is going to happen. I remember walking in there and he's getting treatment from LJ and you're on your phone on his calculator trying to work it out, yeah, and he's just crying. Mm. And I just go, fuck, I'm not saying anything.
Mm.
I just walked out. I was like, I'm not saying anything. And I reckon 5 minutes after that, bro, you made up your mind. Do you know what I mean? I think it's, and I said to everyone, I was like, he'll come to this decision and he'll come to his, like, and you did. You came to your, this is where I draw the line for myself today. And it was like, I'm comfortable leaving here doing 800.
Mm.
And that's what he came to. But fuck, man, that day was horrendous.
All of that was hard,
right,
as a group, because we're grappling with not, you know, we're grappling with the outcome. And how was your, so for us, we all had our own individuals, but talk about your, like, this was your harebrained bloody idea, right? But what, talk about some of maybe what was your mental space and some of the things you were grappling with to deal with that? Because the processing was time, but I know how, in my view, that there were certain pressures and expectations and things that you would have had in your head that you would have been grappling with. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, for me it was like when you say something, you there's nothing that's going to stop me from doing it. And I had to sort of really then fight against, okay, fuck, like, what's going to happen now? Like, do you know what I mean? I'm not going to finish. Like, I can finish, but it's going to be on Tuesday. Like, can I do that? And I was really, I end up, no one actually saw me, but on that walk, I actually just sat, there was a lot of farms, and I just sat on a letterbox, jumped up, sat there, and it was right on the highway, and I was just sitting there, and I sat there for about probably 10 minutes, and I'm like, fuck, like, and I'm messaging Nikki, and I'm like, I'm not even walking. These guys already finished at 50. Like, I don't understand. Like, what I'm, I can't run, and I don't know what to do. Like, I need something to happen. And I remember going, like, Nicky was messaging me saying, just, do you know what I mean, whatever you want to do, just do it. And I mean, if you have to do it again, we'll make it work. We'll do whatever needs to be done to go and do it again. And I thought, fuck out, like I have to go through all this again to know that I'm 150 k's away from completing it, like, and knowing that I'd have to do it again, and knowing that I wouldn't be right until I'd done it and finished it from point to point was doing my head in as well. So, and again, saying, I mean, that last day, day 10, when it should have been the most happiest day for me, finishing it with you guys and all we're trained for, was really hard to come to terms with mentally, because I know how much you guys were hurting, but you guys were such, in that last day bar, like that little bit, you guys were in like a state of like such a high, knowing that this was the last day and we're getting here, and just knowing that like I wasn't, like I didn't have that. I never got that. I got like a finish on day 9 where, I mean, everyone was there and it was like, it was really emotional. Like, I mean, I've done 800 in 9 days, but that's it. Like there's nothing tomorrow. And I didn't finish on a high, I finished on a low. So that was hard to come to terms with. But yeah, so.
What went through your head on day 9 when you made that decision, when you had to like actually sit there and go, oh, Jesus, like I have to make a decision. Like, what were the things you were thinking of? Like, were you thinking about your injury? Were you thinking about what people think about you? Like, what exactly was your, what was the thing you first thought of when you went, like, I don't want to do this, but I have to? Were you worried about what people would think about you? Were you worried about, how your injury was going to go later on? Like,
I never thought about how my injury was going to go later on, and I never thought about what people would think about me at all. It was more about, what do I feel comfortable with?
Yep. Yep.
And
I also think I can answer this a little bit. I know that what's going through your head, and I know you so well, you would have been thinking, how can I make this good for the boys as well? And you're thinking, because I know for a fact,
always
if we didn't have a time frame, this guy would have walked till fucking Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I know that was going through your head as well, because I know that's hard to grapple with.
Because we were talking about Sunday, because you guys were going to finish on Saturday and I was going to finish on Sunday.
Yep.
We spoke about that.
And then we were talking about Monday.
Yeah.
But like, that's what I mean. Like, the only... You know, one of the biggest concerns for you was, how's this all going to end for the guys, for us? You know, and that's, fuck, man, how hard is that to do? Like, because I've dealt with that with the Surf Coast. And I, like, you know, I got to that 50 and then I was like, man, I have to stay out here for the boys and support them. And that was the hardest thing I've ever done, staying out there watching you guys achieve things and standing at that finish line at midnight. And I'm being like, I fucking did nothing here. I've really let myself down. But then you have to think about, you know, sometimes you're putting others first, and I know that would have been flowing through your head as well.
That was that separation. I think you put your own worries and put your own thoughts beside you, and said, "I want the boys to finish on Saturday."
I came to a number that, because I was going over it, like, there was, I mean, if I finished at 750, like that does that number just, I don't know, ate at me. So I'm like, I came to a thing, because I wasn't even really moving at all at that time. Like, okay, so if I get to 800 in 9 days, okay, I'll be satisfied right now with that, and that's the only option I've got other than just keep walking and finish on whatever it is. But so yeah, that was it.
Yep.
But the fact that you had that conflict, as in your goal and then the group finish with and grappling with that, is such a heavy weight. Like, I, especially in that moment, I don't think people can understand how much that weight would have weighed on you to grapple with. And it's such a hard...
Because we were having meetings at, like, after we'd finished run. I remember one night we were like, okay, so what are we going to do? Because I was struggling so much with my leg and that. And, I mean, like, how's it feel? I'm like, you don't know until the day after. Do you mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, do you mean, it's fucked stuff now, but hopefully... And we can get moving again and swelling goes down overnight and stuff like that. But we had to make a plan for when you guys were going to finish and when I was going to finish. And that sort of, I mean, it did weigh heavily. And even just like little bits, like knowing that no one else was out there with me as well some nights. I mean, that was hard as well. But I guess that's all a part of it. So so I guess the next thing, I guess, getting back into normal life after the last 3 weeks, I know it's been harder than I guess what I thought it probably would be. I feel like I'm starting to get in a bit of a rhythm now. I need to snap out of it because I was eating like shit. Can't believe how bad I was eating for so long. Like, it's just, your body goes into shock. Like, I mean, I was having sweats bad, like really bad sweats. I had blood tests for infections and stuff like that because they were worried about that sort of stuff. But then my sleep started getting better. But I was just eating so much, like so hungry.
Yep.
And not training.
Well, it's the fact that all that stuff is taken away from you. Like, I'm surprised there were that many McDonald's that we went past as well. But like, we're not having big meals. We're not having all those kind of things. Mm. Like, we were having little, little scarcity parts. You know, like it'd be like, oh, 5Ks, I'll have a K time twist. You know, and then like 10, like, probably like 2 hours later, you get to like a 20K mark and you have something. So like, that's what happened. We came back and went, oh my God, we got shops, we've got everything, and we don't have to move.
I also feel like it's just like you eat for your emotion. Like, I'm such a big believer in that. Like, we've all felt so shit. We're like, oh, what's going to make me feel a little bit better is probably food that's probably like makes me, you know, like is yum.
Zinger box from KFC.
Well, do you know what I mean? You're not going to go fucking make a veggie stir fry with, do you know what I mean? You're like, oh man, like I just want to make something that's, and you're feeling lazy, feeling like a piece. Do you know what I mean? You're like, come on, man. Mm. Like, well, it doesn't really matter. There's no sort of goal eating or anything like that.
No, and there's also nothing to, when you finish an event like this, very rarely do you have something planned for after.
Yep.
We were lucky after the Surf Coast, we had turf games. So,
true.
I mean, this time, I guess the last sort of thing we'll catch up on is, and I'll go last because I'll let you in on some stuff that I'm sure we'll do. But so have you got any plans for any challenges, any thoughts about what's next?
Oh, to be honest, I've already had a chat. I plan on doing the Surf Coast 100 again.
Ooh, very good.
I think that'd be nice to, because I enjoyed that. Now that I've set a time of 15 on the dot, 15 hours, knowing that we can do 100, send me to 100. I feel like how I learned from the training last year and then from the training for Sydney to Melbourne, I think I can amp it up a little bit more. I just got to obviously start. Probably contrary to anyone else's thoughts, I really enjoyed the Surf Coast 100 based on scenery and trail and just how it was, just so different to just road running. I'm gonna jump in that one. That's the plan. If there is nothing else that pops up.
Kevy boy?
Kevy?
I got the Melbourne Marathon I signed up for in the early bird at end of May. The key for me though, like, it's not all this stuff is part of so the finish of the run was really, really important, but it's part, as I say, it's these events are part of my lifestyle and calendar. Mm-hmm. So achieving something is great, but it's there's a what's next, but I don't hold my hat on it so much. So I haven't had as big a down as some of you guys have. I've sort of, these things happen now. I've learned from experience that the marathon's in October, maybe in the Surf Coast, maybe I might do the 50 and wind it back a little bit. I've got to wind back some of these events for my other life, for my outside life.
He won't do 50. We know you don't.
So
do 50.
To the marathon, what's your have you got a goal there?
So when we did a triple marathon here last year, and I hit running time under 3:30, but total time was 3:36 because we got stopped at the Westgate Bridge. So I want to hit that. Yep. I want to hit that 3:30, and maybe some more. But I need to make sure my body's right from injury. Mm. And so I'm working with Shawnee and Brenton and making sure that from the feet up, that I get it right from the first time, which is part of the learnings I've had from the training for this run.
Yep.
So,
very good, Dan the man. And you're doing High Rocks, Kev.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't got anything on my calendar, which doesn't mean it's free.
I'll fill your doesn't calendar mean it's free. For you.
I've been thinking a lot about it though. I don't know. Obviously, I've got High Rocks. I'd love to do probably the half at the Mara, and I haven't done the Melbourne Marathon, so I'd maybe crack a half there, and then obviously,
what time are we gonna do that in?
I reckon maybe like
1:40.
Nah, 1:40 would be good. I've obviously got the Surf Coast on my brain a lot. I brought that up with Chelsea.
Really?
She told me that I could put it somewhere. So she didn't want to come. So if I'm doing it, I'm probably going to have to go solo.
I'll come with her.
Yeah.
I won't do it, but I'll.
That obviously that plays on my mind a lot, that thing. So I've got a lot of stuff. To be honest, man, I really want to get into like really good shape. like this year. Like I haven't really been in like, I don't know. I just feel like I've, in terms of just like being in really good nick, in terms of like body composition, it's not, it's never really been, like it used to be really important to me, but it's, it hasn't been important for the last sort of 5 or 6 years, but I feel like it's a really good goal. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really, like it's nice to, yeah, to have a really, obviously, good physique. I think I just haven't really focused on that for the last 5 years, and I know what to do, so I feel like that's a big goal of mine as well, yep. to just get in good shape.
Yep.
Yeah, I reckon that's definitely one for me, is getting in the best shape that I can, but I don't think I was in the best shape that I could have been in terms of probably weight-wise running, I mean, 1,000 Ks. Mm. I mean, so that's probably another learning from the run.
Do you reckon you were over or under?
Over.
On weight?
No, over. Overweight, you mean? Yeah, I was probably still about 87, 86. Where, like, Jesus. I mean, if I was to do it again, I'd like to get probably like nearly my fight weight, which was like 81. I mean, if it's an extra 6 kilos you're running around with,
just have to hit up Lucas, man, and just get in the old, get the old weight.
Yeah.
Just on that, that's when I got injured, was when I cut weight, because the nutritionist actually warned us about that cutting weight isn't always the best for running. So
yeah, I wouldn't cut weight late. Early.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Gradual decrease.
So this is what I've got planned. Yep. And I've been going over this because it's been doing my head. I've got like an obsession. I think obsession is sometimes looked at as a bad thing, but I mean, I think being,
do you know,
being obsessed with something. What does you know what?
Do you know anything?
No, I don't know
about these.
I can't even read what's on that paper.
Yeah, I've been trying to.
No one knows about this. So got the. I've signed up to the Mara. I signed up last night. Done. The goal is sub 3.
What?
Sub 3. So that's the goal. I've messaged.
Kev's just got a race on.
I've messaged the coach, and he said that it's not realistic, and I love that. So I said,
let's fucking go.
I said, no worries, let's do it then. Let's give it our best shot. So that's the first one, 15th of October. I've got High Rocks. And then we've got a few others that these boys don't know about, which I'm sure they'll jump onto. They won't let this slip. So one's called Through the Ferry. Through the Ferry. Now, Through the Ferry is an event I just come up with.
Oh,
now,
okay. So it's not actual.
No. But yeah. There'll be a lot of people that jump on this. Through the Ferry. That's so nice. It's a 24-hour race. It's 229 Ks in 24 hours. And it is from here down to Sorrento, ferry across to Queenscliff, and then back to the Performance Club, 24 hours. Now, we start at 4 a.m.
Can you swim the ferry bit?
No, 4 a.m., which means there's a cutoff to get to the ferry of 13 and a half hours. So if you can't get to the ferry in 13 and a half hours, you're done.
What's the distance?
It's 120 K. It's 120 Ks. So it's 109 Ks. Oh, okay.
109 is a lot better than 120.
In
13 and a half, because we've got to get there half an hour before the ferry. So the last ferry is at 6. So that's what.
So this is real.
Sorry, it's 120 Ks. Sorry, 120.
Sub 13 hours.
120.
Sub 13, so.
So it's going to be quick.
We're going to have to.
Look, Kev, that's what you said about the run. You were all hesitant about the Sydney Mail run.
Is it an individual one?
It's an individual. Oh, no, it can be done as a 1, 2, or 3. So that's a 24-hour race. So that's on the 17th of Feb.
Oh, plenty of time.
17th yep. of Feb. And then we've got in December, I want to run a sub-5-minute mile, which is a 1.6.
Mm-hmm.
Under 5 minutes.
You can do that now.
I think I can do that now.
Easy.
And then you can do that now.
I think so.
And then
we'll race after this.
And then we've got the 16th of May, which we lined up the, instead of doing the Sydney run again right now, is we do the 10, 7, 8, 9, 10. So we do 10, you can do it as a 50. So it's 10 100K efforts, just like the Sydney one should have been. But we do every single state every single day. So again, there's a cutoff to get to the airport, get the last flight, get over there, sleep, go again on the next day. 7 states plus New Zealand plus Bali plus Singapore. So that is 10 days. 10 days.
That's how you get deep vein thrombosis.
100 Ks a day.
Straight on the plane.
100 Ks a day. So that one there.
They'll cut our legs off at the end.
That one there we're looking forward to as well.
What date's that, you say?
March. That's going to be the May the 16th, which this is a year from when we did the Sydney run.
Yeah, right.
So okay. That one there, you need to literally sleep on the plane, get there, you'll sleep at a hotel, but then we need to get up at 4 or whatever it is and get started so you get the last flight again to the next thing.
We're going to need business class.
We're going to need a logistics expert for that one.
So that is my...
Chelsea and Kev.
Yeah. I'm going to need to rob a bank before that.
So that's around Australia and around Singapore and Bali, New Zealand.
I'm excited. I reckon that, to be honest, I'm signing up already. I think New Zealand would be lovely to go see Dan's family.
I think I might just stay there.
We might finish there.
I think we should finish there.
Let's finish there and just spend another 2 weeks just resting.
So there's the next sort of, 7 months, 8 months.
It's a lot of running.
There's a lot of running.
Is there any can we do some sort of
swimming?
No, I don't want to swim.
Can't swim.
Oh, we might do the Red Bull thing in there as well somewhere.
Lifting would be good.
Barbecuing.
So that is a bit of a recap on the Sydney Melbourne run and I guess how we felt and how the whole thing took place and what we're looking for the next future. I know the boys will finish up here and start booking these dates in because they won't want to miss out. Start looking at flights around the Australia, around the world. But thanks for tuning in. Thanks, boys, for jumping on. Thanks for tuning in for the episode of the Conway Show. And we look forward to getting back next week and every week after that. So thank you again.
Bring it on.
See you later.